WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Thank you, Digital Henry. Good morning. It's the 14th of July, 2021. My name is Arthur, and this is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm going to continue a study in Jack Webb this week. For the first half of the program, I found an episode that he co-starred in as a protagonist on a show that I've featured here before. This is episode 20, I believe, of Box 13, starring Alan Ladd. It's titled The Better Man, had an original air date of the 2nd of January, 1949. Thanks for listening.
Box 13, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13, care of Star Times. Your advertisement in the paper has intrigued me. Naturally, I wonder whether you are serious or insane. Either way, I think I should like to meet you and perhaps offer a proposition which may intrigue you. Incidentally, there is $100,000 concerned. Does that get your interest? If it does, I shall expect you at dinner tomorrow night.
I shall expect you at dinner tomorrow night at 8. It will be informal, so don't bother to dress. Yours for adventure, Charles Winthrop. Does $100,000 interest me, yes? Brother, that much money would put new life in a mummy.
And now, back to Box 13 and Dan Holliday's newest adventure, The Better Man.
Charles Winthrop. You know, Mr. Holliday, that name sounds awfully familiar.
Well, it should, Susie. Mr. Winthrop is one of the richest men in the country.
Oh, sure. I remember now. He's a regular crisis.
A what?
Don't you know, Mr. Holliday? Crisis was a rich king.
Oh, don't you know, Susie? Croesus, not Crisis, was a rich king.
Oh, someday I'll pronounce something right.
You do and you'll lose your job. Okay, Susie, it's dinner tonight with Charles Winthrop to see what's on that mind of his.
Cigar, Mr. Holliday?
No, thanks.
More coffee, perhaps.
I don't think so, thanks.
Curious, Holliday?
Very.
All right, my boy. We'll take care of that shortly. Oh, excuse me. I want to tell my butler he needn't stay around. William, come here a moment, will you?
Whatever Mr. Charles Winthrop had on his mind, it was hugely funny to him. All through dinner, he'd stop eating, slap his thigh, and laugh. And I wasn't saying anything funny either.
Oh, William.
I watched him as he told the butler what he wanted.
I believe you have the night.
I got a kick out of him. Short, thin, little man with wisps of gray hair that kept floating over his spectacles. And when he talked, he craned his neck forward like an inquisitive bird, his little eyes twinkling. Oh, he was enjoying a great joke, and I wondered what it was.
All right, Holliday. We'll be alone and we can chin a little. Think I'm crazy, huh?
Mr. Winthrop, any man who can collect about 20 millions is crazy like a fox.
Oh, money isn't everything.
No, some people die young.
Touché. Now, let's get right to the point. As I understand it, you advertise for adventure to get plots for your fiction, right?
Right.
So I'd say you'd like my little proposition.
Well, that all depends.
Ah, surely. Well, someplace in this city, I have hidden a packet containing $101,000 bills. Do you hear me?
I'm afraid I did.
No one knows what it is but me. But you can find out.
I know a lot of people who would like to find 100,000.
Oh, I know. That's why I've thought of this wonderful thing. Wonderful, wonderful.
What wonderful thing?
Ever been to Tibet, Holiday?
Not recently.
China, India, Japan, Africa, Malaya.
What are you getting at?
At me. I've been to all those places, Holiday. I went before they stank up the streets with gasoline, commercialized the pyramids, lighted up the tombs with floodlights, and made the world just one long, big bore.
And?
Well, I'm tired of being bored. I want excitement.
So you hid $100,000 where you can find it. What's exciting about that?
You're going to hunt for it.
I am, huh?
So are three other persons whom you don't know, whom you've never seen. And these three other persons have never seen you.
Ooh, we'll be a cozy little crowd.
Oh, think so. But never mind that for a minute. Now, I take it you've got a good income, huh?
Not like yours. But then I never eat caviar.
But you're comfortably fixed, eh?
All right, yes.
Oh, magnificent. That makes it perfect. I'll have a grand time.
Well, drop me a postcard. I'll keep in touch.
Now, wait. If you find the money, I will match it with another 100,000 and give it to any charity or cause you name. Ooh. Cancer research, infantile paralysis fund, or any of a dozen. Or split the entire amount any way you want. Now, how's that?
Sounds good. Now, what's the rest of this?
At midnight tonight, after you leave, I will drop four letters in the mailbox. Now, these four letters will be identical. Each will contain the first clue to the whereabouts of the money. The first clue will lead to the next, and to the next...
And so on until the money is found. Is that it?
Exactly. Each of the four persons concerned will receive one of those letters at the same time. And the hunt will be on.
I take it you had one of these cozy little dinners for each of the other three.
Yes, that's right. Each one agreed.
Each one agreed to turn the money over to charity?
Oh.
Maybe I'm bringing back vaudeville. I'm killing
it. No. No, this is what makes the plan so perfect. One of the persons is a man who would kill to get that much money. Oh, I chose him well. Oh, no, he'll not turn the money over to charity.
I see. And the others in this little game?
Well, no, I'm not so sure. But $100,000 is a lot of money. I've watched people grab and cut each other's throats for much less, Holiday.
In other words, you'd send four people against each other to amuse yourself. No thanks, Winthrop. I'll take my hat and some clean, fresh air.
Well, after all, Mr. Halliday, you advertised adventure wanted.
That's right. And that's not an entry blank into a cutthroat game to amuse a cynical old man who's down to his last 20 million. So long.
Wait.
What for?
Now, listen. Those other three who are going after the money. Now, one is a man to whom the money would mean cheap nightclubs, gambling, and everything else his stupid mind thinks is life and living. The other two would keep the money, I'm sure.
Unless you keep them from getting it.
Oh, but I won't. I'll watch them play my game and let the one who wins take the stakes. But you, Holiday...
What makes you think 100,000 wouldn't tempt me?
Oh, I got my money by knowing people.
So?
You've got the chance to get $200,000 for a worthy cause if you play.
And if I don't?
The money will still go to one of the other three. And I'm inclined to think the killer will win, unless, he's playing against a smarter man. Well?
What if someone gets killed? How will you feel?
No better, no worse than now.
Did you ever stop to think it would be the same as murder?
What law could touch me, Holiday? I hid the money, I give out the clues. If someone gets killed, the money is the murderer, not me.
I see.
Of course, if you refuse, you can always think of how much good the money could have done.
Why, you...
I'll send out the letters at midnight, Holiday, four of them. You'll get yours in the morning. So you have all night to make up your mind whether the money is squandered by a cheap, stupid fool or helps some of humanity.
I went home. I went to bed. I didn't sleep much. I had dreams. Dreams that featured the grinning, weazened face of old man Winthrop, $1,000 bills, sick kids in hospitals. They changed places with each other all night. Then in the morning... All right, who is it?
Special delivery, Mr. Holiday.
Okay, thanks. Shove it under the door.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. It was from Winthrop. At first, I wanted to burn it, forget the whole thing. Because the thought of people running around a city fighting over that money made me, well, it made me a little sick. Then, well, I guess I was mad at Winthrop at his cynical attitude that the killers would always win. I opened the letter and later in my office listened to Susie read it.
High swings the hunter, his dog's eye bright. Where science is king, the clue will be right. What's it mean, Mr. Holliday?
I don't know. High swings the hunter, his dog's eye bright. Hunter? Hunter? Me?
And his dog's eye bright. I never saw a dog with only one eye, or a hunter with a dog's eye.
His dog. And why, where science is king?
Gee, I never saw a puzzle like this one before.
Well, old man Winthrop is certainly having his fun.
I worked out a puzzle once about movie stars. The names were all jumbled, see? And
Susie.
And...
Hmm? Susie, say that again.
Say what?
What kind of a puzzle did you work out?
One about movie stars. Why?
Stars, stars, stars. Susie, you're wonderful.
Am I?
Absolutely magnificent. Here.
Mr. Holliday, you kissed me.
All that and a raise, too.
But what did I say?
The dog star, Susie, the dog star.
What dog star?
Hand me that encyclopedia, quickly.
Gee. Here.
Now. Now. Dog star, dog star. Ah, here, listen. The dog star... or Sirius, brightest star in the sky, in constellation Canis Major, the great dog.
Oh, but what about the hunter?
Listen, Sirius may be seen below and to the left of the constellation Orion, the hunter. That's it, Susie. High swings the hunter, his dog's eye bright.
Uh-huh, but what about the next line? Where science is king, the clue will be right.
I don't know, but it's got to have something to do with Orion the hunter. Listen, Susie, I'm going to find out a few things. I'll be at the Star Times for the next half hour. Okay, I'll say one thing for Winthrop. He made the game fun to play. That is, if keeping one step ahead of a killer was any fun. Anyway, at the Star Times, I talked to the science editor.
Say, what the devil are you up to, Dan?
Hey, look, Lou, give me some help, will you?
If I can, sure. What's your problem?
Read this.
What is all this?
Never mind now. I'll explain later. But Orion is the hunter.
Oh, I see. Well, what do you want to know?
What about Orion? Does it swing high?
Sure. It rises roughly in the east, swings upward in an arc, and then sets.
When is it at its highest?
Oh, I should say around midnight.
Midnight, midnight. Okay, now what about that where science is king line? Make anything out of that?
Well, I should say science is king at an astronomical observatory. At least that would tie in with the rest of this doggerel.
Lou, you're wonderful. Oh, by the way, Lou, there's an observatory in town, isn't there?
Sure, the Winthrop Observatory.
The Winthrop?
Mm-hmm. Somebody managed to squeeze a few shekels out of the old boy to build the thing. He insisted it carry his name.
So it all fits. Okay, Lou, tonight I'm going to be a stargazer. It was hard to wait through the rest of the day, but I made it. Then that night, I drove up the long, winding road that led to the Winthrop Observatory. Again, the old man picked his spot nicely. It was dark, and a creeping, damp fog settled down in curling waves. There wasn't a light within 10 miles. Then I broke out of the fog, and the mountain leveled off. In the sky, the stars were big and bright. And I came to the end of the road. From here on, it was shoe leather instead of horsepower. I looked up in the sky. Swinging up in front of me was Orion. Below and to the left of him, a white star shimmered in the night sky. Sirius, the dog star. I looked at my watch. The luminous hands were almost straight up. Okay, midnight, Orion, Sirius. Then what? Who's that?
Well, Mr. Holliday.
Winthrop.
Yes, indeed. Didn't think I missed the fun, did you? Well, come on, Holliday, straight ahead. Stay on the path. Good evening, Holliday.
What now, little rich man?
So you figured it out, eh?
Why else would I be here?
Very clever. All right, here's an envelope.
What do I do with it?
Oh, there's another clue in it.
the second.
Oh. How long does this go on?
I'm having such a wonderful time, I'd like it to go on forever. But I'll play the game fairly. One more after this, and that's all.
I see. You're really making this great for yourself, aren't you? You'll be at each stop, I suppose.
Oh, yes. And I wonder how many clues I'll have to give out.
What do you mean?
Well, only you and one other person showed up here tonight.
What? One other?
Yes. And guess who it was?
Do I have to guess?
No, I'll tell you. The only person beside yourself was the gentleman who would play rough, very rough. I'm afraid, Holiday, that from now on, you'd better watch yourself.
And now back to The Better Man, another Box 13 adventure with Alan Ladd as Dan Holiday.
It was like playing tag with a ghost or fighting a mist. I don't know why I kept at it, except by this time I would have crawled across the Sahara Desert in an overcoat to get that money from Winthrop. When I left him at the observatory, I went to my apartment. There I opened the envelope. Oh, this one was better than the first. It said, "He's king, yet a slave, and free, yet a captive. And we, who are weaker, are yet stronger. Those whom he ruled are close to his might, yet fear him not by day or by night." Now, this made a lot of sense, and it was after 3 a.m. when I finally gave up on it and went to sleep.
I don't know, Mr. Holiday. It just doesn't make sense.
Come on, Susie, think. Say anything.
Anything what?
He's king, yet a captive.
How can he be king and yet be a captive?
That's the point. If we figure that out, we've got the rest.
I never was good at riddles.
Come in. You, Dan Holiday?
Yeah, that's right.
I want to talk to you.
Who are you?
Makes no difference. Can you get rid of the dame?
I'm not a dame. I'm a secretary.
Blow, will you?
Hey, wait a minute, bud. Didn't you get in the wrong act?
Sit down, Holiday.
I'm not tired.
Okay, stand then. Get rid of the dame.
Susie, run down to the Star Times and pick up the mail, will you, please?
All right, Mr. Holiday. But tell him I'm not a dame.
Okay. Maybe you know why I come here, huh?
I can make a good guess.
Well, that's swell. Now we don't have to beat each other's brains out.
I didn't know we were booked for it.
You could use 50 grand, couldn't you?
Keep talking.
All right, look. What's the sense in both of us running around in this rat race?
You're the rat?
Don't talk like that, Holiday.
Why don't you get to the point?
Okay. You and me got the only clues. We team up. We'll reach 50 grand of the good.
Which means you can't figure out this second clue from Winthrop.
Maybe.
If you had it figured, you wouldn't be here now.
So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
What do you say?
What if I won't make it a duet?
What makes you think you'll get to that money?
Nothing, right now.
I asked a question. What do you say?
The answer is no.
That final?
You can close the books, lover boy.
All right.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah?
How did you know who I was and where to find me? I didn't know you or where to find you.
You figure it, Holiday. You got the brains. But get this. I'll be right on your trail from now on out. If you change your mind about that split, put an ad in the agony column of the papers. I'll see it. So long.
Well, 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 that flat-eyed character knew me. But Winthrop said none of us would know each other. So I looked up Winthrop's number in the phone book, dialed it, and...
Hello?
Winthrop?
Yes? Oh, is this Holiday?
Look, I just had company.
No.
Yes, thanks for sending him, Winthrop.
How did you know I did?
Don't give me that, how else would he know who I was?
I had to put a little zip into the game, Holiday. He's such a charming fellow, isn't he?
Okay, you've had your belly laugh, but that's it.
Oh, you're not quitting.
I don't like to be thrown to the lions.
What did you say?
I said I...
Well, go on.
He's king, yet a captive. King of the beasts, the lion.
Wonderful. Now all you have to do is follow it up.
Nothing doing.
Oh, you're so close, Holiday, and all you have to do is be careful.
I'm beginning to like you less and less.
I'm not a likable person. However, whether you go on or not is your affair. But I should be very disappointed in you if you didn't.
Hello. 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 Well, I had the choice, and I was itching to get even with Winthrop. Somehow I was beginning to suspect he had no intention of letting go of $100,000, and that made up my mind for me. I figured out the rest of his little note, and the only place I could see a lion free, yet captive, was at a zoo. So it was to the zoo I went. The park was crowded, kids, grown-ups, all milling around. Then I came to the lion pits, those semi-natural habitats without bars. I drifted close with the rest of the crowd, leaned over the iron railing that ran along the edge of the moat, and then...
Get it! Oh! Hey! Here, mister, hang on, give me your hand, quick!
Oh, pull me up, will you?
Yeah, hang on! Hey, mister, what was you trying to do?
I didn't try it. Thanks for helping.
Brother, they almost had real fresh meat. What'd you do, lean over too far?
Yeah, much too far, and I had help.
Lucky you thought to grab that rail.
It was a good thought. Thanks again.
That's okay, mister. Boy, oh boy, that was better than Frank Buckfish.
Well, well, well. Did you have a little trouble, Holiday?
Winthrop.
Ah, pretty close, wasn't it? Did someone shove you?
You guess, Winthrop.
Dear, what some people will do for money.
Winthrop, you're not very big. A nice, easy shove, and you'd be where I almost went.
Oh, but you won't, Holiday. You won't because you're not the type that kills. Now, your anxious friend is different from you.
I don't know what keeps me from seeing how tightly your head's on your neck.
Oh, you don't like me. All right, Holiday, you've reached the end of the trail. Be at my home at 8 tonight.
It was 8 o'clock when I walked up the steps in front of the Winthrop home. There were little chills chasing each other on bicycles up and down my spine. But I rang the bell.
Oh, good evening, Holiday. Come in.
What have you got lined up for tonight?
Come this way. In here. Sit down, Holiday.
Thanks.
I suppose you'd call all this quite fantastic, wouldn't you?
You're insane.
Oh, aren't we all? I'm just able to indulge my whims. Most people aren't. Well, I suppose you want the money, huh?
You're not kidding anybody, Winthrop. There isn't a penny hidden anywhere.
Oh, yes, there is. But the game is not quite over.
What do you mean?
You may come in now. I believe you two know each other.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for almost making me Daniel in the lion's den.
Think nothing of it.
What is this, Winthrop?
Now, patience, Holiday. I have a proposition. The best part of the game. Here is $100,000 in cash. Now, you two can decide what to do about it. You can divide it equally, or may the better man take it all.
I looked at Winthrop. He was grinning. I looked at the other man. He wasn't grinning. He was eyeing that package of money. Then he looked at me, and it was easy to see what was on his mind. And Winthrop saw it, too, because he leaned forward.
$100,000 is much better than 50, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
As you see, I am armed. You two are not.
Suppose we decide to split.
That decision will have to be unanimous with both of you.
I ain't splitting it.
Good! I thought I'd chosen well in you. Well, Holiday...
What if I just decide to leave?
You won't, because I won't let you. I want my fun, Holiday. Don't spoil it.
He looked at me with his little black eyes, and he kept that gun pointed out at me, too.
I can shoot you now, and your friend here will be a witness that you attacked me. $100,000 witness. Well?
Let's get it over with.
Exactly. There are no windows in this room, no servants in the house, and only one door. The money's on the desk. It will be merely a fight over money if the police come into it.
when you've had your little argument, the one who's left can knock on this door, and I'll come and unlock it. Good hunting, gentlemen.
This was it. The man left with me got up off his chair, walked slowly toward me. I thought maybe I could reason with him. But what argument can you use on a killer? That...
Holiday.
Surprise, Winthrop?
Well, I... Congratulations, Holiday. Brains and brawn. Rare combination. All right, there's the money. Take it, and I'll match it with another 100,000.
You'll match it with a half a million.
What?
You heard me. Your pal there is out right now, but in a minute he'll come too. And I'll leave him alone with you with that money still on the desk.
But you can't, I...
Get away from it, Winthrop.
Listen, Holiday. Now, you're not a killer. You wouldn't leave me alone with him.
No? Watch. And I'll take your gun with me and lock the door behind me after he wakes up.
Wait.
And I could be a witness. $100,000 witness that he killed you in self-defense.
You wouldn't. You're not that kind.
You wanted to play dog-eat-dog, now play it.
All right. What do you want?
Sit down at your desk, make out a check for a half a million. We'll decide where it goes later. And we'll both go to the bank tomorrow and cash it. Something funny?
It's just that I could refuse to have it honored at the bank.
Yes. Yes, you could. But you won't.
All right, Holiday. You've almost restored my faith in people. Give me that pen.
$1 million to charity and medical research. Look, he gets his picture in the paper.
Uh-huh.
But you did all the work.
I'll tell you something, Susie.
What, Mr. Holiday?
I got even with the man who called you a dame. Satisfied now?
Well, I don't know. He was kind of cute at that.
Oh, no. Good night, Susie.
Next week, same time... Through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holiday in Box 13. Box 13 is directed by Richard Sandville with an original story by Russell Hughes. Original music is composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager. The part of Susie is played by Sylvia Picker. Production is supervised by Vern Karstensen. This is a Mayfair production from Hollywood. Watch for Alan Ladd in his latest Paramount picture.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
left.
You are
not going to.
Then what you're
going to
do is turn onto Marcy Avenue.
Just broke up
and go past
and
the first three
she's
lights,
happy about
and then take
it.
The next left.
I don't really
then drive
think
five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
and you should be
who
there.
Who am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right. That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Grand
Thank you, lads, and thank you, Ad Council, for that FCC obligation. Again, for the first half of the program... We heard Box 13, The Better Man, with an original air date of the 2nd of January, 1949. That starred Alan Ladd, but it co-starred Jack Webb as the protagonist. It's just, I didn't mean to say study at the top of the hour, just an investigation into Jack Webb, I guess I would say, because of his detective roles. Anyway, my name is Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. We'll continue I played one of these last week. This is titled Pete Kelly's Blues. I'm totally intrigued by this series. Who says that Arthur doesn't play music on his show? This one's titled Dutch Courtney, with an original air date of the 22nd of August, 1951. Thanks for listening.
This one's about Pete Kelly. It's about the world he goes around in. It's about the big music and the big trouble in the big 20s. When they ask you, tell them this one's about the blues. Pete Kelly's blues. Pete Kelly's Blues, starring Jack Webb, with story by Jim Moser, music by Dick Cathcart.
Number 417 Cherry Street is a standard speakeasy. The help is paid in cash, the books are burnt at the end of the month. Every week we use 30 cases of booze and a pound of coffee. After salaries, there's gas and lights, and a payoff to the Prohibition boys. In Kansas City, the price is good. For $100, they steer in the drunks and make one raid a year. The place is run by George Lupo. He's a quiet little guy who wouldn't give you the sweat off an ice pitcher. The beer's green, and the gin's as young as yesterday, and the music's loud. I'm Pete Kelly. I play cornet. We start every night about 10 o'clock, and we play till they sweep out the broken glass. We don't draw any customers. We don't chase any away. The music is straight New Orleans. It started in the front parlors of Storyville and drifted up north. Some of it laid over in Chicago. That's where I got on. And wrote it out here with a piano player named Augie. Well, he's still with the band, but last night he was barely with it. We took a break about 11. Augie was late getting back. Might as well have stayed in there because he kept looking around the room, and the way the piano sounded, you'd think he had on the catcher's mitt.
That'll do it. Let's get off for a while, huh?
Sorry, Pete. Running a little behind you, mate.
You haven't left the station. What's the matter, Augie?
I'm nervous. Take a look around. Near the door, back this way. What's full of cops?
Well, forget it. Have Jake open a couple of windows. Take a walk. Get yourself in shape, huh?
Not till I find out which way to fall. These boys are here for heavy duty. I learned that out in the kitchen.
Now, let's duck behind the stand. All right, what about it?
You know Dutch Courtney?
I drink his beer, that's all.
Well, somebody shot Courtney up tonight out near Highway 40. Well,
that's too bad. He'd have drawn a good crowd downtown. Who killed him?
I don't know, but whoever he is, he's in for a big night. The police are trying for him. So's his partner.
Well, let him play. How does our place fit into it?
I couldn't guess, but we'll find out soon. See the big guy that just walked in the door?
Yeah, boss cop?
Almost. It's Eddie Newman, Dutch Courtney's partner.
Come on, we better get back in the stand.
Kelly.
Yeah?
My name's Newman. Come outside.
Well, we're due to play.
I'll hear you later. Come on. You hear about Dutch Courtney? Picked him out of the mud tonight.
Means nothing to me.
Does to me. Dutch was a friend.
Well, if it'll help, cry.
I'm short on time, Kelly. Now give me a rundown on Gus Trudeau.
There's nothing to say. He played for a while and he went to the Boneyard.
You know him. You know his sister.
You'll have to ask Courtney about that. I haven't seen her since the old days.
You knew Gus well enough to figure he didn't like Dutch Courtney. He didn't like him 1 pound.
Well, you can't blame him. Dutch sidestepped and paid Trudeau's way to jail.
Bookkeeping. I don't know anything about it.
All right, look, Newman. You're on the wrong track. This is a job killing. Your boy got frisky and somebody sent down a Chicago gun. The price tag shows.
Sorry, Trudeau's my pick.
What'd he hit him with? A high-powered rifle? Gus Trudeau's away up in Leavenworth.
He used to be. Gus went over the wall this morning. When he shows up, I want him.
Well, why pick me?
I'll ask around. He'll head for you. He's broke. He'll need train fare.
No, not if he killed Dutch Courtney. Somebody will give him a railroad.
When they dragged the blues out of the back room and moved them up front, there were three of the best leading the parade. They were all blowing cornets. One was Buddy Bolden, one was King Oliver, and the other was Gus Trudeau. Oh, he was a lot of music, but not much man. He picked me up on a union date on the south side of Chicago and taught me how to play. He got into me for a Boston three-star cornet and gin for the rest of his life. When he got down to running errands for Dutch Courtney, I left for Kansas City. A couple of months later, Courtney needed a patsy, and Trudeau was it. He wound up with a 5-year stand at Leavenworth. But Gus never felt right unless he was in trouble. Only this time, he cut me in for a piece, too. Well, I picked up a drink at the bar and fought my way back to the stand.
Anything wrong?
No. Did you finish the set?
One more to go, Jazzy.
All right, let's do it.
What's wrong, Pete?
A friend of ours killed Dutch Courtney. Jasmine.
Killed Dutch Courtney?
That's Trudeau.
What with? Brad? Trudeau's in jail.
No, not since this morning.
Which one of you is killing?
I am.
A friend of yours in town wants to see you right away.
Who is it?
He's waiting up at your room.
Did he give a name?
Just Gus.
An hour later, I was still looking for an out. It was a little after 2 a.m. Our base man, Red, loaned me his car keys and I slipped out. I got on to 12th Street and picked up his Erskine coupe and headed up for my room. All the way out Grand Avenue, the streetlights were spending the rest of New Year's alone. Some guys with wide brooms were pushing at the confetti, and the fog was loafing down in Washington Square. When I got to my place, I parked the car in back and headed up the stairs. College kids down at the end of the hall had their door open. Their party sounded young. I was looking for Gus when I opened the door, but he had a substitute. I knew her way back at 18th and Halstead. She was pretty and the fastest friend in town. That must have been a long time ago, because somewhere along the line, she'd run into a batch of Wednesday weekends. She wasn't pretty anymore.
Hello, Pete.
Where's your brother?
I don't know where Gus is. That's why I'm here. I knew you'd be the first one he'd come to.
Yeah. Now, what about the break?
I was up to see him 2 weeks ago. He didn't say anything about it. Pete, we've got to help him.
I've been hearing that since I met him.
You're the only one who remembers, Pete. You're the only one who cares.
Yeah, well, a lot of people care now. Eddie Newman wants him. The cops are looking hard.
I've got to find him before they do. You got to help Pete.
He was supposed to meet me. That's all I know. I'll wait for him.
He needs a hand, Pete. He's in deep.
Yeah, well, he's always in deep. Now, you do what you want, Madge. I ran front for Gus too long. I'm out of the habit now.
Please.
Gus wants cover. He can look for a police station.
Gus can get away. Some money and a car. That's all he needs.
It's going to take more than that to get out. Every cop in town's working tonight.
Oh, give him a chance, Pete. Help him.
No, no, thanks.
Gus has been good to you, Pete. He taught you music. He's been nothing but good to you.
I'm paid up. I bought his gin for 5 years.
And do it for me. For what I used to be with.
No, it's old. It was 80 years ago. I can't help this.
Do it for me. I haven't changed that much.
I have.
You're still the same.
You've been working at it.
You remember.
Yeah.
It's the same, Dee Dee. It's just like the first time.
You never had a first time. How about a drink?
Will you help me, Pete? Find Gus. Get him out of town.
All right, $10. As far as I go, $10 and a quarter. Now I'm getting off.
Where are you going?
Back to work. Tell Gus to take care of himself.
Hold it right there, Pete.
You stayed too long in Chicago, Madge.
I bought the gun in Kansas City. Don't go for the door.
You better give it to Gus. He may need it.
We're going to find him. You're going to help me.
All right, come on. Give me the gun, Madge.
If I shoot, it'll hurt.
Yeah. Come on, put it away, Madge.
Oh, drop it.
Who is she?
Latrade. Who are you?
Cage. I work downtown on homicide. Who you got on your floor?
Madge Trudeau.
Tell me about her.
I knew her in Chicago. After that, I heard she did favors for Dutch Courtney. After that, I don't know.
Is she tired? What's she doing here?
Looking for Gus Trudeau.
Where is Gus?
I don't know. I've been asked that twice tonight. This is the third time I don't know.
You probably will.
Why? Why do I have to get into this?
Because you're Gus Trudeau's friend.
Then let's get him another one. I'm tired of the job.
I don't blame you, fella. You'll come out of this with a lot of trouble.
For instance.
I'll make it simple. If Gus Trudeau shows and you turn him over to Newman, we'll send you up as an accessory to murder.
Yeah.
If he shows and you turn him over to us, Newman will probably kill you.
Oh, that's real good. In the meantime, what do you guys do for a living?
We're busy. We couldn't prove Newman killed you. It's after 2. Get back to that club.
We'll leave you here?
I got work to do.
Like what?
This woman. I'll see if I can get anything out of her.
Well, it's been done before, but I'll bet 10-1 in your case.
Go on back. Outside here.
Good night, cop. Leave the rugs. I left Cage standing in the middle of the room looking down at Madge Trudeau. He didn't watch me leave, but I figured it wouldn't be too long before he turned that gleam back on me. Well, I went back to 417 and ran into our piano man, Augie, outside in the alley trying to steal some clean air.
Happy holidays, Dee Dee. How's Gus?
I didn't see him.
Oh, forget him. I got it all figured out for the two of us, Dee Dee. Today we'll spend our time dodging destiny. We'll hit for some small back room. I'll bring the bottled goods and we'll live on gin and sauerkraut and make the walls sit up and listen. One horn, one piano. The blues, Peter. We'll ride them in the middle of next year.
All right, save it, will you? Just set me straight.
Right now, across the river, there's two places. The High Life Club or Fat Annie.
You sure he's there?
That's what the word is. I'll pass the hat down at the Union Hall for both of you.
Is Gus alone over there?
He is now, but there's going to be a crowd.
What do you mean?
I told you.
Yeah.
When Eddie Newman gets back, I got to tell him.
I knew it was a silly move. Newman had 100 guns on tour for Gus. Cage and the boys from headquarters were standing by for seconds. Helping Gus Trudeau was out of order, but I couldn't get one thing out of my mind. If Gus did kill Courtney, why didn't he pick up some travel money before he did it? I was backward. If you're going to hang up your pants, you take them off first. Well, it was about 3 a.m. when I got down to the river and crossed over to the Kansas side. The High Life Club was smoked up and had a little of everything, except Gus Trudeau. I looked in the kitchen and tried a back room. Then I went to the bar to see if I could drum up some talk. I had one taker, a boy with wavy black hair. He got up from a table of three others, walked over and sat down next to me.
Hello. Come in your office?
No, it's the first time.
Welcome, then. Buy you a drink?
No, I'm all set. Try one yourself.
Oh, I think drinking is all right, but I hate people who drink too much, don't you?
You work here?
Well, not regularly. Sometimes I dance and the other act doesn't show up. You here alone? Waiting for something.
Waiting for a guy named Gus Trudeau.
You wanting his friend?
I'm it. Where is he?
He left a while ago. I'm not sure where he went.
Well, get sure. It's important.
They mentioned someone named Bethy.
All right, hold it.
Well, what are you here, Kelly?
All right, get away, Newman. Try another stool.
That's all do.
If he asked you to leave, I think you should leave.
Well, well. Quiet, boy. That's nice.
Leave him alone.
Who is he?
I never saw him before.
What's he know about Trudeau?
Nothing.
Don't kid me. You're not here to spend the time of day. You're here for Trudeau. You, little friend, where's Gus Trudeau?
I don't have to talk to you. I'm a guest in this place.
You're not anymore. Now climb down and head for that door, both of you.
Can't make us do that. We're not going to leave.
It's a split boat, Buster. I don't like the way he pushes.
That's right. Just walk. I'll bet you look good.
I knew right then. As we walked out, I knew Eddie Newman wasn't going to leave him alone. who was going to pick at him, whether he knew anything about Gus Trudeau or not. It was going to get messy, and the boy with the nice eyes was going to help. Outside, it wasn't snowing anymore, but the ground was covered right down to the river. The moon out, and it looked all right, if you like nature. We walked over toward a bunch of trees. Newman's car was parked there, a black touring sedan with a strong-arm guy in the back seat. There was another one sitting on the running board. He had a machine gun across his lap.
This'll do. All right. Now let's hear about Gus Trudeau.
I don't know anything about him. This man and I were just talking.
Go easy, Newman. I never saw him before.
He always talked to strangers. I bet he does.
None of your business.
Where's Gus Trudeau?
I wouldn't tell you. Suppose I knew, I wouldn't tell you.
Oh, yes, you would.
Get your hands off of me.
Stop pressing, Newman. You don't care about Trudeau now. You just don't like this guy.
Stay out, Kelly. Come here, you. Stop screeching. I'll break your arm off.
Keep your hands off of me, you big, dirty pig.
You're in trouble, fella. Shut up.
He is a pig. His hands are dirty and his teeth are dirty. I'll bet even his clothes are dirty. Oh, that's right.
Now, lay there. All right, Dave, move in here. Back away, Kelly. You're up, choir boy.
Please, please, mister, do something. Don't let a thing like this happen.
It already has, Buster. Come on, Dave. It's getting cold.
Newman climbed into the car and they drove off. I stayed there a minute to look at the guy in the snow. Space was unmarked. I did him a favor. I rolled him over so it showed in the moonlight. I knew his mother'd want him to look good the night Eddie Newman's chopper squad cut him down. Well, the name Bessie had to mean Fat Annie's place up the river on the Kansas side. I made it there and found Bessie. She was back at the piano wandering around somewhere in the middle of the blues. You couldn't miss that voice if she took up yodeling. Bessie Smith.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, Bessie. What do you know?
Well, I'm back, Pete. You go up the stairs, the loft. Way up there at the top.
Thanks, Bessie.
Okay, Pete. All right, Eddie.
I felt my way out around back and up a couple of flights of stairs that didn't creak in time with the music. There was a door at the top. I pushed it open. He was hunched back on a pile of hay in the corner. He sat up and blinked a couple of times. There wasn't much left, just the frame. And rattling around inside, a lot of tired echoes that wouldn't lay down and die. There was an empty gin bottle on the floor.
Petey, I knew you'd get here.
Yeah, well, I didn't make it easy.
You're looking good, Petey. Everything's 6-2 and even, huh?
You forget easy, Gus. You're in a jam. You broke jail.
Yeah, I told him all about you up there, Petey. I told him there's another Gus Trudeau blowing down in Kansas City. I'm proud of you, Petey.
Yeah, sure, Gus.
You're just like me, Pete. I told him all about you. You're the only good thing I ever done. I knew you'd come through. Car and some money, Pete. You'll do everything. You'll make it all new. Is it too much to ask? You tell me, Pete.
They want you for Dutch Courtney.
You know better, Pete. I didn't kill Dutch.
Well, you had a reason.
Did I? I forget.
He hung a frame on you, Gus. 5 years' worth, remember?
I didn't kill Dutch. Give me a drink, a boy.
No, not tonight.
Don't preach at me. Just something to help me all
over. Yeah, now come in out of the fog, Gus. You're going to get a drink or a train ticket for me. Take your pick, because it's the last time around.
Just listen to that. Bessie's still going strong, ain't she?
Yeah, and so are the cops. I got one idea for you, Gus. Get moving.
You remember Chicago, Petey? You and Madge. Chicago always liked me.
You checked out, Gus. Beiderbecke's got your chair.
They'll remember me and you, Petey. I found you when you were nothing.
What are you going to do? Where are you going?
I got it all set up. It's big and brand new. A place in Mexico.
Yeah?
The guy who bunked in my cell with me, his mother runs a place down there. It'll be just like it used to be.
Well, you won't get there on a gin bottle.
I got it set up, boy. I count some money. It's not much to ask. You haven't got a drink, have you?
You can drink in Mexico. Where are you dreaming up the car and the dough?
It's fixed, boy. You just see this guy and tell him I'm ready. Abe Gaffney. He's got a place on Pershing Road. You know it?
Yeah, I know it. Abe's doing all this?
Just tell him I'm ready. How's Madge?
She's all right.
Come and see me, huh? It's hot down in Mexico.
Gets hot here.
What's the matter, Pete? You ain't sore, are you?
No, I ain't sore. I'm just tired. I'll tell Gaffney and then I'm checking out. Goodbye, Gus.
You're not getting too big for your old friends, are you, boy?
Friends are like everything else, Gus.
Yeah?
They wear out on you. Wasn't any different than a dozen times before. I knew there wasn't very much left, but I wasn't looking for a second-rate ghost with an empty gin bottle. Well, I crossed the river to the Missouri side, headed down Main Street, and then I swung over toward Abe Gaffney's place on Pershing Road. It was pushing close to 5:30 a.m. The sun wasn't up yet, and the night was too tired to care. I pulled up in front of a Murad sign out in front of Gaffney's. Inside, a counterman with pimples and coffee was leaning on last night's paper. A beaded curtain shut off the hallway that led back to Gaffney's room.
You want something?
Yeah, Gaffney.
Not here.
Where do I find him?
I don't know.
I was supposed to meet him here.
That's so?
Look, this is Gaffney's place. Where is he?
I told you.
Now, listen, Junior. Maybe you think you do a good imitation of Calvin Coolidge, but I want an answer. Where's Gaffney?
What's your name?
Kelly.
You could have saved an argument this way.
Through the curtain.
When do you go to bed, Kelly?
Yeah. You still looking, Newman?
Still asking. Where's Guts?
I don't think he'd give me time to answer.
There's a good reason why I let you walk away tonight. I gave you 2 hours all by yourself on the Kansas side. I don't think you threw him away. You got a line on Gus Trudeau, and I want it.
I got nothing for you.
Don't be silly, Pete. The cops get him, or I do. He goes either way.
You get no help from me.
I don't want help. I want Gus. Now, come on! Come on! Come on, or I'll make you part of the wallpaper.
You better send for Dave.
I don't need it.
Oh. I think you do. Now, don't bother to get up. I'm leaving.
I don't believe it. Wasn't your turn, Kelly.
When I got up off the floor, the room was cold and the lights were out. Newman was gone, but I knew he was still in business. I knew if he didn't find Gus Trudeau this trip, he'd come back for me. Well, I got into Red's car and followed the radiator cap back to 417. I found off the back of the stand having breakfast.
Did you bring an egg, Petey? Kitchen's closed down.
Newman been back here?
I haven't noticed. You look abused.
Yeah. Did anybody say anything?
Who missed? You heard the news?
What's that?
They found the guy who got Dutch Courtney. Fellow by the name of Doyle. East St. Louis. Cops got the goods on him. Gun, fingerprints, the works.
What was his beef with Dutch?
Doyle owned East St. Louis. Dutch wouldn't believe it.
I'll leave it to Gus. If there's a hole, he'll fall in it.
Makes it easier, doesn't it? Newman will call his boys off now.
Well, somebody better tell him in a hurry.
Did you see Gus?
Yeah, I saw him. He's trying to get out of town.
Pete Kine?
That's right.
Dave Gaffney, Pete.
Well, you're a hard man to find.
Newman came in the front door. I went out the back. This won't take long. Car keys and money for Gus.
Well, you got the wrong guy, Abe. I quit an hour ago.
Fight it out with yourself. Car's out in the alley. Gray Chandler. Tell Gus it's low on gas.
Now, wait a minute. You can take this stuff to Gus. You know where he is.
No, thanks. You take care of Gus. He's an old friend.
What's the matter with you?
I hardly know him.
The clock over the bar said 6:15. We got back on the stand and started the last set. 80 pounds of stale cigarette smoke was holding up the ceiling, waving down in a dirty blue curtain over the dance floor. Behind the bar, one of the guys was wiping up. Two couples picked their way to the dance floor, pushed each other around a while, and they finally gave up. Oh, the whole thing, it was all out of step. Wrinkled stockings, brown gardenias, torn paper hats, and Gus Trudeau. He walked in the door and stood off to one side, just back of the stand.
Hey, Pete, Gus got here. He's safe now.
Don't make book on it. All right, last one. The blues in B flat.
right, that's it. Same call all tonight, 10 o'clock. You can talk.
Hey, Petey, over here.
I heard you. You sound good, Pete. Just what I told him up there. You're on your way, boy.
All right, now you heard it, Gus. Here's the money. In the car, keys. I'll see you, Gus.
You know what I told him? Another Gus Trudeau is blown down in Kansas City.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, boy. I believe you.
Happy New Year, Gus.
Hi, Madge.
Hold it there, Pete. The family fight. Stay out.
I thought I took that gun away from you.
What's the matter, Madge? What are you doing?
Don't tell me that talk, Gus. Dutch can't hear you.
What do you mean, Madge?
You killed him. You blew your top and killed him just like you did everything else for me. You and that gin and that cheap brass horn of yours. You sped us all, Pete and me. You ran through the whole bunch till you got to Dutch.
Pete, I didn't do anything.
You killed Dutch Courtney. I loved him. I loved him enough to square it.
You got it wrong, Madge.
Goodbye, Gus. I'll tell him to throw your horn in after you.
Read the paper, Madge. He killed the wrong brother.
Stay away, Pete.
It's in the paper, Madge. A guy by the name of Doyle. He killed Dutch.
They're not sure. Are they?
They're sure.
What'll I do?
I got two things for you, Madge. And the car keys. Now, you see what you can do with 10 minutes start.
You didn't have anything more for Gus, did you, Pete?
No, I guess not.
Well, you needed.
Yeah, that's when I got out of town.
Pete Kelly's Blues, starring Jack Webb, with story by Jim Moser, music by Dick Cathcart, scoring by Matty Matlock. Pete Kelly's Blues is based on characters created by Richard L. Breen.
We heard Pete Kelly's Blues. It was titled Dutch Courtney with an original air date of the 22nd of August, 1951. That was a series produced by Jack Webb to fill in the summer slot after Dragnet went on a hiatus. Again, next week I'm probably going to play another Jack Webb detective series that is not Dragnet, as well as Pete Kelly's Blues, because I really like these Pete Kelly's Blues. They're pretty interesting. Anyway, my name is Arthur, and you've been listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you kindly for listening.